Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and to my left, my uncle Mike, Michael Hasto. Welcome on the podcast.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so we've been playing this one for a while, and I'm finally glad that we found a time to do this. And now, listen, my uncle Mike, he has a very different background than a lot of, you know, my friends. You know, a lot of my friends are college athletes. My uncle Mike is in the Flag Football Hall of Fame.
Correct.
So correct. I'm very excited to talk about his football career and his flag football career. So to start it off, you are in the USTFL Hall of Fame.
Correct.
So can you start by telling us a bit about the United States Touch Football League for those who may not be familiar and what being in the Hall of Fame means to you personally?
Well, the USTFL started with Mike Sion back in the late 70s, early 80s. A lot of guys who either played college ball or just came out of high school and didn't go to college played. And it actually became quite large in the 90s. And then now you see it on ESPN and you see it all over the place. The 7-on-7 and the 8-on-8s are all over the place. So, yeah, it was cool. So 19 seasons playing that, 3 ACL surgeries playing that. But, yeah, it's met a lot of great connections, great guys, and it was a pure blast.
So then you said this league was like right out of college, correct?
Yeah, a lot of guys came right out of college and played. There's guys started it from actually the Euclid area and the Collinwood area. Some guys played college ball, some guys didn't. We started playing actually, God, I think it might have been our high school, right after high school, even before college, we were playing in these leagues. So
yeah. Wow. Yeah. So then, like, where were these games, like, held at? Were they held at, like, high school stadiums?
Some were high school stadiums. We played a lot at the middle school right back here. And then they would locate fields within the Cleveland area just to, and then we'd go down to Columbus. You'd play the state tournaments every year, or some went down to Florida and played the Nationals.
Wow, so you had teams, like, from all, like, across Ohio, or even, like,
all over,
even,
yeah.
like the nation, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. It's pretty big.
So then, I guess, talk a little bit about your, you know, positions. Like, would you guys have certain positions? Would you guys play everything? And, like, I guess, what did it take to get you, like, into the Hall of Fame?
So we have, we normally played 7-on-7. You'd have, like, 4 receivers, a couple running backs, and a quarterback. And then everybody pretty much played offense and defense, so you played both. There's some guys who didn't play defense, but you would play both ways the whole game. And basically it was just 19 years of, I had a guy that ran our team, Mike Ramachotti, that would keep stats, and we were pretty close to Sion and some of the original Hall of Famers. And you just kind of put in the stats, and after a few years you've been retired, they just go into a whole process of just, you know, nominating and getting elected.
Wow. So then did you have, like, your own Hall of Fame ceremony?
Actually, yeah. We have a plaque on the other wall, and they had it on the west side. And there was, I think my class was 7 or 8 people that got inducted. And you had to get off, and same thing. Somebody had to introduce you, and then you had to give a speech.
Wow.
So it was really cool.
Wow. Awesome. And then, during your time coaching at Benedictine, so you recently coached there.
Correct.
How did you approach developing young athletes both on and off the field, and what moments as a coach are you most proud of?
Well, with the kids at Benny, you kind of took them more under your wing as like a father figure instead of just a coach. So you got to know the kids' families. It wasn't just coming here, coaching, and then going home and nothing. You got connected to all these kids really personally. And the families are tremendous at Benedictine. I can't say enough about them. And I'll tell you what, before we came in, the last year before this coaching staff came in, they were 0-10. They didn't win a game. And within 2 years, we took them to 10 wins in 3 playoff games. So the kids really grew up, and you take more pride in that versus their... you take pride in a lot of them going to play college ball, but you take pride in what they do as adults, which is more important, like especially in Benedictine.
Yeah, and that's, like, honestly really cool. I feel like with a lot of, like, high school stories, you really hear just, like, the coaches and the player
yep.
kind of having, like, connections, but that's really cool how it evolved to, like, you got to meet, like, the family, like...
Oh, yeah, you became close.
All of that.
Yes, yeah.
So then... I guess, what was, like, your proudest moment or, like, biggest game from, like, your time there?
Our biggest game was our first playoff win. But overall, it was just the seeing the evolution of the kids grow from 0-10 and growing up from sophomores to seniors, and some are seniors now. And just turning it back into... Benedictine has a very rich football tradition, and getting back to that... is just like it encompasses the coaching staff. All the coaches are just phenomenal, and everybody's really close-knit, which you don't get in a lot of schools.
Yeah,
really cool.
And then I remember too, you got to meet Jerome Baker.
Oh yeah, Jerome Baker, who now plays for the Browns. Yeah, he played there. His nephew, I think it's a nephew, not a cousin, but his nephew is a senior there this year. Still plays, and yeah, we Jerome would have a camp every year. And we would go and we'd help run the camp with Jerome and speak with him. And he's a class guy.
Wow. So then would, like, any other players, like, come and, like, help out too?
He had a few of his friends that he played college ball with at Ohio State would come and they would help in the camp, here and there. But, like, each year you'd have, like, 2 or 3 guys that he played ball with that would come and help out. So it was cool.
Wow. And then so I kind of, like, know what it's like, you know, to be a player and then try to help get, like, recruited, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So would you help these kids, you know, play at, like, the next level or, like, reach out to coaches for them?
Yeah, we would help put we'd put video on Huddle. Now Huddle is huge, obviously, and every kid has their own Instagram, so you kind of help them get promoted that way. Our head coach is Joe Prieveski, does a nice job in really connecting some of these coaches, and they bring in colleges all the time. Like, they'll bring in Ohio State. They'll bring in anywhere from Ohio State to Ashland. We have 2 kids that are playing for Ashland now. We have a kid at Charleston. Charleston, they would come in and they'd, you know, talk to the kids. So they do a nice job of actually bringing colleges in and helping these kids connect face-to-face.
Wow. And, like, it's crazy to see, too, like, how, like, the recruiting has, like, evolved. I mean, I remember, like, towards the end of, you know, my senior year, it was mostly on, like, those, like, websites.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's more on, like, TikTok reels.
Yes.
Like, people will have their own, like, film, their own highlights, and
yeah.
Coaches are active, like, on those apps.
Yeah, TikTok is huge. All these kids have their own page, and they, you know, they promote themselves, some good, some bad, but they, promote themselves, and you really get your name out there, and, you know, it's easier to connect to coaches than just Huddle or, you know. So.
Yeah, even, like, emails. I mean, I probably sent, like, 15
yeah.
to, like, 30 emails.
Yep.
And you never know if they read them or not. So.
Right. All it takes is one to look at you. And what's nice is we have one of our former players is a coach at Lake Erie College.
Okay.
So that's a nice little pipeline for them to go through. And then through that, when other colleges see you getting looked at, they tend to look at you. So it's nice to have a couple little pipelines to get through.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So now, looking back on your playing days at Mayfield, which experiences or mentors had the biggest influence on your style of play and your approach to leadership?
So Coach Gerard, who I only had 1 year, that was my junior year at receiver, he was the best receiver coach we had. And then Coach Nally was phenomenal, you know, roughly the same, 2 great receiver coaches. And then we had a couple defensive coaches that really brought the fire and made you kind of have a little bit of an edge, which is like Coach Donahue, which I actually work with him now at Stonewater.
Really?
A little bit. He works at Stonewater, yeah. So, those guys were really good are really good in high school to kind of give you that edge and that knowledge of how to play the game.
Wow. And then when you played, you guys had like the one face mask, right? Like the one helmet?
No.
Or like the...
I still have my helmet, actually. No, it was pretty much, we had the first, we actually had the first helmets that actually blew up with the air.
Really?
They pumped air in them. There were bikes, and they were like the new wave back then. Yeah, and I still have the helmet, so, yeah.
So then, I guess, how has football changed, like, from today and then when you played?
Well, a lot of it is equipment. Like nowadays, these kids, you know, their shoulder pads are basically nothing. It's all about the turf tape, and it's all about... I mean, granted, I did the same thing back when I played receiver. I actually put tape on backwards, so the sticky side was out. So when you ran, the ball stuck to the... So we did little things like that. Yeah, we did little things like that. But the equipment is so much lighter today. The uniforms are so much lighter. They're easier to move in. It's a little quicker paced game. I feel a lot of the dudes were bigger back then, because now I'm looking at some of the kids that are even playing line nowadays at some of these high school games, and they would basically be like a wide receiver with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had some big dudes.
Yeah. I mean, like, even like, I would say, like, looking at talent, I mean, compared to like when I was younger and then like watching kids in high school, they were huge.
Yeah. And it's so much different now with the specialization, right? The training. Back when we played football, and when we got done with football, we went to basketball season. When we went basketball season, we went to baseball season. And now it's like these kids are all through the summer. It's four nights a week with personal trainers and all kind of different camp. We didn't really have that at all. You just played ball.
Yeah.
Now it's like it's completely specialized, which gives these kids a really big advantage. Yeah. We just had to look at... We looked at guys like Jerry Rice and Walter Payton, and we kind of had films on what they did in the offseason, and we just kind of did that.
Wow.
Or now it's like, now it's a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So from your time from flag football to today's football landscape, including touch, flag, tackle, what changes have stood out to you the most, aside from the ones that we just mentioned? And then where do you see the sport heading in the future?
Well, besides the specialization, injuries seem to be way more prevalent now because guys are bigger, stronger, faster. But helmets are getting better. Rules are getting better to try to stop the injuries so much. But the game just getting so fast that, you know, who knows in 10 years if you're gonna have 290-pound linemen that are running 4.3s and 4.4s instead of 4.9s and 5s. So the game is just going to get faster and faster.
Yeah, I've even heard maybe punting might be gone soon.
Look what they did with kickoffs, right? Kickoffs, they completely changed. Punting might change. They're gonna adapt a lot of ways to try to keep injuries out, but, I mean, they're going to happen. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the NFL, like, nowadays is more, like, offensive-minded. Like, completely. It's all kind of, like... Who has like the best offense? One that scores the most points? One that's like the most like electric?
100%. Years ago, it was all defense and guy. You know, teams were really. You know, it was 14-10 games. You throw for 200, maybe run for 100. Now, you know, everybody's throwing for 300 and running for 120 every game. It's crazy, but it is. It's offensive driven.
Yeah, and like the team that like I always think of the most is like the Bengals. Like they have such a high powered offense, but their defense. Is just not that
correct.
Good.
And it just doesn't give them over the top.
Yeah.
Like you have to have that defense, but you got to be able to score 30 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. So you're also known as a great golfer. So how did you first get into the game? What keeps you passionate about it? And are there any courses you play or events or anything you've seen live that have inspired you?
Yeah, so I'm an okay golfer. I'm good.
You're actually really good.
What helps is I play... And this is in most sports, with bocce, with even bowling, bocce, golf, whatever. I play with golfers that are way better than me, which helps me get better. So I've got guys that will beat me every time, but it kind of raises your, you know, when you play with better basketball players, it raises your, you know, your game to a different level. So I'm lucky. I got some really, really good guys to play with all the time. And I started out basically with my dad when I was probably about 9 years old. And I would just go over the range and, you know, tinkered with it through high school. Always still played. And then probably right after the third ACL injury, I got into golf real heavy.
Yeah, and
experience-wise, I've caddied at Pebble Beach. I've caddied, I've met Arnold Palmer and caddied at Bay Hill in his tournament.
Wow.
And caddied for Connor Gudovan, who is, I think, in the second stage of getting his tour card. He's doing really well. So I've caddied for him in some U.S. Open qualifiers and stuff, which gives you a real good respect for the game and how the game's supposed to be played. And, yeah, that's it.
So what's, like, your favorite golf course that you've ever played at?
That I played at is probably Tobacco Road in North Carolina. We just played it for the second time this year. Been to is Spyglass and Pebble.
Okay.
But actually played is probably Tobacco Road. And there's a course called Wakapaw in Arizona, which is the most pristine desert course I've ever been on. So
really?
Probably those two, yeah. It's
like,
unbelievable.
It was all like desert? Like
all desert. You'd have desert, and then you'd have pristine green fairway and greens. You'd have desert. You would look off to the mountains, and you'd see coyote, and you'd see animals up in the mountains right off the course. I mean,
yeah.
it was an unbelievable experience.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool.
Awesome. So now listen, Uncle Mike, you're a big fan of golf, right?
Yes.
Now, you buy gear and balls all the time, right?
Correct.
So listen, I trust Pins and Aces on the golf course whenever I go. They're a Colorado golf brand making polos, head covers, and gloves that really stand out for comfort and style. With my code, you'll get 21% off. That's the best discount they offer. And when you buy it, I earn a commission, which helps support me and the show. So check out Pins and Aces today. Use code LionsCove for 21% off and upgrade your game.
Do it. Do it.
So you had a rich sports career yourself. So how has it been for you to watch my growth in sports over the years? And are there any moments or lessons you've seen me learn that really stand out to you?
Watching you since you were like a little wee little boy. Your passion for, especially basketball, your passion for the game is phenomenal. Going through your fingers and your injuries and everything that went on. My thing that I really appreciate is how you took that. Like, kids play high school sports, and a lot of kids will live through their high school sports. You took that and you made your league that you do with all your friends, which I think is way more important than high school basketball. So how you deal with that and you keep those guys together, I think is more impressive than a lot of kids' high school career. So that's what's really cool, because the stuff after high school, the stuff with your friends, that's what really lasts. So I'm impressed with that.
Thank you. And yeah, my dad always talks about that. He said, listen, I had the best time playing basketball. I had the best time playing sports
right
after college.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Same thing. Everything after, when you really get to enjoy your friends, and that means more than most high school careers.
Oh, yeah. Like, even after high school, I remember just like, you know, after deciding like not to play in college, I was just torn about it. Like,
yeah.
I was really upset because I didn't know what to do. But eventually, like, when you're able to, you know, get that love for the game again, being able to play with your friends, not
right.
having to worry about anything, any pressures. Like,
right.
It is so much fun.
Just enjoying the game for what it is instead of the politics and everything else. You're able to just play ball and just have a blast. And you could do that, you know, whenever. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, even like playing like bocce in like our like backyards,
yeah,
and stuff, like, you know.
Yeah.
Even playing horse, like all like the stuff that even we do as like a family.
Yes.
Like, it's,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
is so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. And again, way more important than all the stuff we did in high school. This stuff is the stuff that lasts. So.
Yeah, listen,
yeah.
I would take Sunday Easter backyard bocce,
oh, yeah,
over high school basketball. I think that's way more competitive.
100%. It's more competitive. It's more fun. There's more trash talk. Yeah. And then you can sit down and eat and enjoy it and talk about it. So, perfect.
Yeah. So then finally, is there a quote or piece of advice that you live by every day?
Not really a quote. I just kind of live by just enjoy life. Like, enjoy the people you're with and have fun and, you know, just always try to have fun and enjoy whatever you're doing, because it's, you know, life is short.
Yeah.
So that's it.
True. And then also, too, you're a big Bears fan.
Big, yep.
You're a Fighting Irish fan.
Yep.
What are your predictions for the rest of the year?
Notre Dame should win out. Some of the injuries they have should help out if they get healthy towards the end. I don't see national championship. I see the Buckeyes, so I'll say go Bucks. And then the Bears, I think they're going to hit their stride, and I think they're going to make a little run this year and a couple more pieces next year, and I think they'll have a better record than the Saints for a couple of years.
Hey, listen, not if we get Arch.
Saints, well, you got to get Arch, or there's a couple other guys out there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, or the guy from LSU.
Yeah, Nussmeier.
Yeah, which I would take him, too.
Yeah, because that's really what the Saints are probably two or three positions away from being back to being real irrelevant. But you got to keep Kamara healthy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we might even trade those guys, too.
Right.
So
it's a movement. It's an ever-changing evolution.
Yeah, definitely a bad year to be a Saints fan.
Well, we've had some bad Bears years. So.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Well, listen, that'll do it for the podcast. Uncle Mike, thank you again for hopping on the show, talking with us about your Hall of Fame career.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And, appreciate the invite.
Love you, and thank you for being the best.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So,
right back at you.
So make sure to tune in. New episodes Tuesdays at noon. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and obviously share with friends and family. And that'll do it. Peace.
Peace.